A reading from the second letter of John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning. You must walk in it. How many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Do not receive into the house or welcome anyone who comes to you and does not bring this teaching, for to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Well, as we approach the end of the church's year, we are given for the first readings of Mass some of the less known books of Scripture. This week we have had Titus and Philemon, and today the second of John's three epistles. And, short and simple as it may appear to be, this epistle could lead us into a very complex study of the early days of the church that was John's community. In days when the church seems to have consisted largely of house churches of various kinds, it was clearly a matter of concern to the writer of this letter that there were divisions that were difficult to deal with. Here, the main worry is that there have been preachers going about making false claims about the divine and human natures of Jesus, and these preachers were effectively threatening the people about what would happen to them if they did not recognize that Jesus was fully and totally a divine being, not human at all. Well, what's most noticeable in the first few verses of this letter is the repetition of two words, truth and love. And the two are closely joined in the writer's understanding. What's important for his readers is that they always work in the spirit of truth and love. What is not in the sphere of truth can have little to do with love. We are never asked to walk that fine line between truth and love, needing to delicately choose which of those is called in for in a given situation. No, we are called to be to the center of the sphere, that is, truth and love. My 16-year-old granddaughter is a bit of a social butterfly, as many kids that age are, and today she starts some important school exams. I sent her a text telling her that I'd pray for her. I'm afraid that her family don't put much store on prayer or religion of any kind. But somehow my offer of prayer seemed to strike a chord with her. I wouldn't go so far as to say she had cottoned on to God's plan for her in life, but she seemed to recognize that love was just as important to her as how much study she'd managed to do lately. I think that when John addresses one of his congregations whom he calls the elect lady, he's facing up to something very similar to an issue facing our church today. There are those who would insist on a strict adherence to doctrines and moral code formulated over the years. The result of that kind of mentality is that people can get the impression that God is somehow always against us, whereas in truth, God is always with us. I especially love a reflection given by Pope Francis in May of last year. He talks about St. Paul's path of courage, and quoting the Pope's words, "When the Church loses this apostolic courage, she becomes a lifeless church. Orderly, perhaps, nice, very nice, but barren, because she has lost the courage to go to the outskirts where there are so many people who are victims of idolatry, worldliness, and weak thought. In order to curb the fear of making a mistake, you have to realize that you can rise and continue to move forward. Those who do not walk for fear of making a mistake," concluded the Pope, "make the most serious mistake." I think that's another way of talking about that combination, truth and love, that is the main topic of John's letter. Jesus, the expression of the love of God made man, brings to humankind the truth about God, that God is love.